thankful for our praise team. Boy, isn't it awesome to come in here and have an atmosphere of praise. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's important that the atmosphere be right when we come into the house of God. You know how it is. You can go into a room where everybody's happy and it just kind of feels like it just flows. Or you can go into a room where there's sadness and gloom and doom and it's like it just grabs a hold of you. But I'm so thankful that when I come to the Fort Payne Family Worship Center, I know without a shadow of a doubt when I come in here that there's people that have paid the price, that are sacrificing to lead us into worship. Amen. Have a message tonight. Thank God. Well, I tell you what, my week was going pretty good till Pastor called me Monday evening. I'm just kidding. You know, I love to preach. I love to do what God wants me to do. But as all of you know, it is a struggle. It's a battle. When God calls you to do something, it don't matter if it's to give somebody a word of encouragement. You know, I mean, I've never been in a fight where if somebody hits you, you don't hit them back. You know, that's just the way the devil is. When you go to battle, when you go to war, he's going to come against you with the powers of hell. But praise God, God is on my side. Amen. If God be for me, who can be against me? God never fails. Amen. I may let him down from time to time, but God does not fail. I was drinking my coffee this morning, and Joshua 1:9 was on my coffee cup. You know, he's with me. He's with you. He's with us. All the way. Kind of scattered tonight, or I feel like I am, but I've prayed and I've asked God to put all this together. I know this is a very important word. God has dealt with me significantly about this topic, about this issue. And, you know, sometimes we all get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everything, and we look at everybody and think they're so perfect and that, you know, they have no issues. And I know it seems like I preach about that a lot, but that's just what God puts on my heart. And because I see a lot of folks that it almost seems like they feel like they can't get free because of their past or because of their present or whatever it is, you know. So I think it's important as Christians that we share with people the real gospel. You know what I'm saying? Religious folks will tell you and they'll point out everything wrong in your life. They'll try to dig up every bone that they can. But Jesus just loved people. You know, and I'm not saying that sin is okay. I'm not saying that living apart from God is okay. But what I'm saying is that we need to love one another. We need to help one another along the way and encourage each other because we all go through things. There's a lot of people that will sit there and act like they're better than everybody else and that they don't make any mistakes. But I beg to differ. We all make mistakes. We all have issues and problems in our life. But I'm here to encourage you tonight. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride." You see, as Christians, we're living right now. We've had a past. We've had a beginning when we started our walk with God. But probably more near than we know it, there's going to be an end. Either the end of our life, whether it be way of the grave or the rapture taking place. Y'all, I think it could happen any time. I think the Lord could catch us away right now. We don't know, you know, the time or the hour. But I'm believing in my heart. I mean, when I read the Word of God, it's like you're reading things that are just taking place so rapidly. So the end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Sometimes we get so caught up in starting well that we forget that we need to finish well also. You know, we've got an inheritance waiting for us, and there's so many things that we have to look forward to, yet we have to live for right now, but we have something to look forward to. We can only take it one day at a time and do our best. That's all we can do. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty hard on myself. I'm very hard on myself when it comes to mistakes and things that I can see everything, because I've got to look this guy right here in the mirror every morning, and I'm so hard on myself. And Pastor told me one time, he said, "Son, don't be so hard on yourself that you have no victories. You know, you've got to rely on God, because everybody knows that when you start doing the right things and you start living for the Lord, the devil's going to tell you, well, you didn't do this good enough, or you didn't pray long enough, or whatever it may be." Amen. In the New Living Translation, it says finishing is better than starting. So we've got to learn how to finish. We've got to learn that, yes, there's a beginning. Yes, there's a past. There's some things that we're not happy with, maybe in our past or in our current present situation. But finishing is where it's at. Amen. And like I said, I'm not condoning living apart from God. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. I hate sin. God hates sin. But somewhere between the start and the finish, there's temptations to quit, and there's temptations to draw back. There's temptations to say, well, maybe that wasn't for me. But if God called you to it, church, come on now, He's going to bring you through. So tonight, if I had a title and I felt like this is what God told me, He said, go again. Go again. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's so hard we get so discouraged. But God said, go again. I'm sorry, y'all. You see, we have things that happen in our lives, and you know, we may all put that facade on like there's nothing wrong in our lives, or that we've never made a mistake. And I'm not condoning mistakes. But God said, go again. So what is it in your life that has stopped you in your tracks? What is it that has made you doubt what God has already told you to do, that He's already showed you in your life that He's going to accomplish? Go again. Just something funny I thought of that God brought to my mind. Got a lot of golf players in here. There's something called a mulligan. I have to use them if I go. Pastor, he loves them, he said. So, as I'm talking about go again, I'm thinking about things in our life that mess us up, that make us think that we're done. You know, I preached a message one time, and it was the God of second chances. You know, we've all made mistakes, and God is the God of second chances. But a mulligan is a second chance to perform an action. Now, come on, put on your spiritual ears. A second chance to perform an action, usually after the first chance went wrong through a blunder. Had a few of those. Its best known meaning is in golf, whereby a player is informally allowed to replay a hole or a stroke, even though this is against the formal rules of golf. Now, when I read that, the formal rules, I began to think about what the world says when we make a mistake. As Christians, people are so quick to analyze us. They're so quick to look down on us. I'm going to say this. I didn't know I brought this with me, but I had an incident at work, and me and this guy kind of got out of the way with each other, and he blasted me on Facebook, you know, and I really let that bother me, and I think I should have, because, you know, I didn't act very Christ-like, you know. I mean, I didn't cuss him out. I raised my voice at him, you know. Y'all, I don't believe that I'm preaching this message, and I don't want y'all to think I'm preaching this message because I'm living in sin or I've done some kind of gross thing against God. That's not it. But he blasted me, and people are real quick to do that because they think that as Christians we walk around and act like we're perfect. That's not it, because we put on a smile and we have joy in our life. The people in the world don't understand that we're not trying to be better than them. We're not trying to act like we're better than somebody. We're not trying to put ourselves up on a pedestal. But you know what's happened is over the years there have been people that have acted like that. So they stereotype us. Just like they stereotype different jobs and careers and things like that. People look at things and they just automatically have an idea about what it's like. So, Mulligan, it says, against the formal rules. You see, the world will try to hold you back. People will try to hold you back. They'll say, well, you can't do that because you've messed up. You can't do that because you've done something bad. You can't do that because you've got an issue. You've got a problem. But I'm here to tell you, that's not God's rules. God's a God of mercy. Each and every day, His mercy is fresh and new. Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient. But if you're like me, you beat yourself down to a point where you think that, well, I've done messed up. Can't use me again. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? Failure is not the end of the road, but failure and mistakes can be critical steps towards success. And I'm not talking about, now we could look at this on a secular level, but I'm talking about in your walk with God, in your daily walk with God, in your life as a Christian. Let me read that again. Failure is not the end of the road, but failure can be critical steps toward success. Success in your walk with God. Got a couple more things that I found that I'd like to read to you. A man once said, if I spend my days avoiding anything risky or things I am not sure I can do, I may avoid failure. But can I tell you, he would avoid success also. Let me stop right there for just a second. You know, a lot of times, it's so easy to listen to the naysayers. It's so easy to listen to everybody else that says, well, you can't do that. That just doesn't make any sense. I mean, let me remind you, you got to be careful who you share your dreams and your plans with. You got to be careful who you share things with, because not everybody is on your side. Not everybody's going to give you the best advice. I had a man that I've been counseling with that's going through some things, and you know, God's really given me a lot of wisdom, some things to say to him. And it was all right here. But, you know, he shared with me, he said, you wouldn't believe some of the things that my friends have told me. People that he loves and people that love him, but they're not Christians. They're not digging into the Word to try to share some wisdom with him. They're just telling him, oh, well, go with your heart, brother. Go with your gut. You know, do this, do that. I wouldn't do this. I mean, they're trying to give him good advice, but it's not wise advice. So we can't avoid anything risky in our walk with God, so to speak. If God tells you to do something, there's a purpose behind it. And I would say this, try the Spirit, make sure it be of God. I'm not saying just every little whim, every little thing. You better back it up with the Word of God. You better get a word of wisdom from an elder or something like that before you go jumping into stuff. But don't be afraid to do what God has asked you to do. And right now, as I'm talking to you, there's somebody in this room that God has directed you to do something. No matter how silly it may be, if He's given you confirmation, if you know that that's what He's put in your heart, then here's your word. Go again. Through my mistakes in life and through the mess ups and the blunders, so to speak, you know, I've grown and I've learned. And I know each and every one of you have too. A lot of times when I have made mistakes, I said, I don't ever want to go back there again. I know the results of and the outcome of what happens when I do that. Bear with me just a minute. How many times has God asked you or you have prayed? We get ourselves in trouble sometimes because I pray, God, send me. God, use me. Here I am, Lord. You know. You know what you pray. And God opens the door or gives you an opportunity. And, I don't really know if that was the Lord or not. Did He really tell me to give them $100? I don't think that was God. Did you really tell me to tell that lady at Walmart that checked me out that Jesus loves her? I mean, come on, that just sounds so corny. Come on, I'm just being real with you. But I want to remind you this. What you do matters. You may think, it's just me. I mean, somebody else can do it. No, God's asked you to do it. God's asked you to do it. So we've all made those mistakes, and I think sometimes we get this mentality that if we don't hit the mark that, well, God's done with me, or I guess I'm going to get punished now, I won't be able to do that anymore. But I dare you to keep praying that. I dare you to keep asking God to give you the courage and to give you the perseverance to go on and to go again, to go back to that person that needs to hear that word of encouragement, or to send that text message, or to make that phone call, or whatever it is that God's asked you to do. Because there's a purpose, there's a reason that God is asking you to do it. Well, I wish y'all could look at these. You'd be like, my goodness gracious. How did He get that out of that? Thank you, Holy Spirit. So like I said, the mulligan is against the formal rules. I'll get that word right in a minute. That the world says, well, you can't go again. You can't do this. You can't do that because you've made mistakes in your life. But we all have. If you've sinned, it's time to repent. If you've got something in your life that's pulling you away from God, it's time to get rid of it. Amen. Sometimes I've lived sometimes in ways that things that wasn't necessarily sin, but I thought, well, what can I get and still go to heaven? Instead of what can I give away? What can I surrender to God? What can I eliminate from my life that's causing me issues that I can be closer to God? You see, the world will condemn you. The devil will spread his lies and talk to you and try to shame you and keep you off course, keep you stopped in your tracks. But I remind you that just as Joseph told his brothers, you see, he could have looked at his situation and he could have said, well, I'm done, they didn't want me. But no, God kept elevating him. God kept elevating him. And He told him at the end, He said, what you meant for evil, God used for good. Romans 8:28 says, and I know all things work to the good. Amen. That problem, that situation that you've been involved in, the failures in your life can catapult you to greatness in the kingdom of God. We are not defined by our mistakes. We are not defined by our failures or our past sins. I challenge you to, there's so many scriptures, so many things, but who you are in Christ. You know, God thought so much of us and so much of you that He made this body a temple for the Spirit of God, for the Holy Spirit to come and to dwell inside of me and you. So the devil wants to remind you of your past or your mistakes. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you haven't done anything at all, when you've been doing everything that you feel like you need to do, like I said earlier, he'll say, well, you haven't fasted enough, or you haven't prayed enough, or whatever it may be. He'll make an accusation. He's an accuser of the brethren. But I challenge you this evening, keep running to God. Keep running to God. Keep going to God. Go again. Go again. Whatever it takes, get to the Lord. Get on your knees. Pray. Go to Him. The Bible says that a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. And I've heard and that being righteous is not about your mistakes. See, there's no righteousness in me. But it's because of the blood of Jesus that I'm made righteous, that I'm made whole, that I am forgiven, that you are forgiven. But there's something that we got to do. We got to keep getting back up. You know, I was reading about, in the book of John, it talks about the man that had an infirmity for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. You know, and people said, well, my goodness, why didn't he just get in the water? You know? But God showed me something today for, now I don't know if he done it for 38 years, but he had an infirmity for 38 years. But you know what? He didn't quit. He kept going to the pool. He kept waiting. Sometimes that's all we can do is just keep waiting on the Lord. We just got to be still sometimes. Sometimes you just got to surrender to God. Sometimes you just got to keep being faithful. Micah 7 and 8 says, rejoice not over me, mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I don't know about you. I don't want to fall into sin. I don't want to fall into problems. I don't intend on it. But I don't throw any rocks either, because I know a lot of people have said, I'll never do that. I don't know why he done that or she done that. Look at them. And they'll say all this stuff. And then before long, you know what? They done fell in the mud themselves. So I want to remain humble. I want to keep asking God, please, Lord, keep me. Help me. But if you do fall, and this says, for when I fall, I shall arise. As you stand to your feet all over the house, Rhonda, if you'll come to the piano, please. I stand before y'all tonight, and I tell you, it scares me to death every time I've got to get up here. And if you ever meet somebody that says, oh, I'll get up there and I'll give them a word, you better be careful. Because I'm telling you, this is no joke. I don't take it as a joke. I take this very serious. But I also tell you this, I'm a man that has made mistakes. I'm a man that has not been perfect. But I strive every day to walk with God. And I'm going to tell you, church, it's been hard, so hard sometimes to get back up. I'm telling you, it has been so hard. when the devil knocks you off your feet, when there's problems all around you. But somehow or another, God has always helped me get back up. He's always helped me get back up. So as every head's bowed and every eye's closed tonight, I know God didn't send me with a message like this because we're all perfect and we don't make any mistakes. But He sent me here tonight to remind you that He's able. And that He is saying, go again. Tonight, if you're here and there's sin in your life, it's time to repent. I don't care how long you've been going to church, how long you've been in this thing. Surrender yourself to God. Repent of your sins. If you're here tonight, and God's got something for you, you know it. You know it in your heart, but you just feel insufficient. I'm here to tell you tonight, go again. Keep getting up. Tonight, if you're here and you need to come to this altar and pray, there's nothing like coming down to an old-fashioned altar. There's nothing like stepping out in faith and giving it to God. So if you're here tonight and you need to pray, I want to pray with you. You come. If the Lord and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, come down here and you pray and you give it to God tonight.